Lord, we thank you, we bless you, we love you. God, help us and have compassion on us, God. We need you today more than ever, Lord. Speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, speak to our ears. Let us discern, let us hear, let us live. Transform our lives, transform our hearts, transform our minds, Lord. God, we need you. You've passed a baton to us. You told us we're the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. We should make a difference each and every place we go, Lord. And thank you for your word. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. It illuminates the way as we try our best to navigate through this fallen, dark, dying, broken, and decaying world. God, we need you. Speak to your people. Speak to our hearts. We don't want to be the same. Challenge us, Lord, to look more like you. Bless your people. Bless us to hear. Bless your word this morning, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we have been going through John chapter 9, we've discovered it's a chapter of divine appointments. I want you to understand that your life is a series of divine appointments. Your life is a series of divine appointments. So here it is, family. It's a mature place to be in. So either we live on accident or we live on purpose. Either your life is a tapestry of divine appointments woven together to make you look just like you look now. So you can be right where you are now. Every encounter we've had has been divine from birth to now and from here on out. Either you realize or you don't, that's a mature place to be in. If you say, Pastor, I don't agree, then you let me know. Do we live on purpose? Do we live by chance? Do we live by happenstance? Do we live by luck? So if we are, I'm talking to those that have been born again, that are new creatures and new creatures in Christ, new creations, then I'm telling you we live on purpose. And if you're not mindful of that, you'll bump into someone, you'll see someone, and you might be having a bad day. I don't know why God woke you up. I don't know what could be so bad about that. Somebody say amen. But you could be having a bad day and you're upset and you're angry. Or you're thinking about the wrong things when you meet someone and then you miss the opportunity for that divine encounter. So it's a mature place to be in. It's the place that God is trying to get us all to. Why? Because we are the light of the world and we're the salt of the earth. And it's a lot going on. It says our lives are a series of special moments, also known as divine encounters, woven together like a beautiful tapestry that makes us who we are today. Either we live on purpose, accident, by chance, or by luck. Either you trust God or you don't. So when I understand that my life is a series of divine encounter moments, it helps me to be grateful. Somebody say amen. It helps me to be grateful because I'm expecting God to do something. It helps me to be thankful. It helps me to see the beauty of God in everything and in every encounter. We talked about Paul last week. Paul was before the Sanhedrin. He was before Felix and Festus and Agrippa. There's an Agrippa waiting for you so that they can say, man, you're persuading me to become a Christian. I want you to just quickly, two more things, then I want you to. At your toughest point, just make a note, because you say, Pastor, I understand what you're saying, but you don't know what I'm going through. I do understand. But just make a note that you're just like this blind man. At his toughest point, God was with him. At his lowest point, God is still with him. So make a note for you. At your toughest point, God is with you. And at your lowest point, God is still with you. That's the God we serve. And then I want you to think about those of you that are saved, you've accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior. Think about your divine encounter when you accepted Christ, how God sent someone in your path. And you're probably like me, you weren't looking for it, but God sent someone, set it up with the divine encounter. And then that's where you are today, and somebody's waiting for you. So I thought about this. I mean, look at this. I was 17. I was working in the mountains, living in the mountains. It was my summer job. I was washing dishes. My first job, by the way, was washing dishes. Somebody say amen. We don't start as executives. Sometimes we might be fortunate up to. But you might have to develop a work ethic by washing dishes for counselors, or for kids who are coming to summer camp, all 130 of them. Amen. But in addition to that, it's about eight of the homeboys working up there, living in the mountains. We're the ghetto Grizzly Adams, amen? Gang banging, getting high, fooling around up in the mountains. Angeles National Forest, San Gabriel Mountains. And one of those nights, God set it up with this cat with an afro and a part in it. Summer 1981, we just called him Part. Here comes Part. But this dude walked around, he's about 6 foot with a part and an afro and his Bible. God set it up one night about midnight. We're in the cabin, all eight of us in Part. And he has his Bible and he starts preaching the gospel. And before I went to bed that night, let me tell you this. He asked us if anyone wanted to accept Christ, but fool, get out of my face, man. We ain't soft around here. Ain't no punks in this cabin. We don't need that. But when I went to bed that night, I knew I needed it. So you don't have to get up and say, yes, no, that's a show. I'm talking about what goes on in your heart. Before I laid down that night, I said, Lord Jesus Christ, come into my heart and change my life. I need you. I'm not going to make it without you. I was 17 and my life's never been the same. Divine encounter, I'm telling you. I don't care what people say on the outside, what it looks like, I'm telling you. That heart needs Jesus Christ if it doesn't have it. And either we're living on purpose or we're living on accident. And somebody's waiting on you to share the gospel. So when you have the opportunity, you share it. So we pick up the narrative here at verse 24, John 9 and 24. Then they called the blind man again and said unto him, give God praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Talking about Jesus Christ. Man refuses to deny Christ. He was giving God the glory, they just couldn't see it. Regardless of what other people think, family, stand on the word of God. It's all we have. If I have to choose the word of God over somebody else's opinion and what they think, I'm choosing the word each and every time. Verse 25, he answered and said, whether he's a sinner or not, I know. Underline, I know. What do you know? He answered and said, whether he's a sinner or not, I know not. One thing I do know, I tell you that much, that whereas I was blind, now I see. I don't know what you're trying to say about Jesus, but I do know one thing. He changed my life. No scripture, just that Christ has changed my life. We talked about it last week to make it plain. Jesus has taken me from living in darkness and practicing sin to living in the light of Christ and being free from practicing sin and the darkness of being led by my flesh. That's why I tell them that. Well, this is what I know. And when you break it down like this, it's nowhere for them to hide. Jesus has taken me from living in darkness and practicing sin to living in the light of Christ and being free from practicing sin and the darkness of being led by my flesh. Because when you follow your flesh anywhere, it's probably not going to be someplace good. That's what I do know. That's what he does know, that my life has been changed. Anybody else's life been changed? Amen. Amen. All I know is I didn't plan on being a pastor. Somebody say amen. I didn't even go to church growing up. I didn't even like church folks, to make it plain, until I met y'all. I love y'all. Y'all different. Y'all real Christians in here. That's all I can tell you is God changed my life. God has a sense of humor. He selected us to be lights and salt. Verse 26, they said unto him again, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered, man, I've told you already. And you didn't discern, you didn't hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Would you become his disciples? It's time to make a decision. Somebody in here, it's time. You've heard 100 sermons, you've heard 100 messages. You got to do something now. You got to stop looking for something else. It's time to make a decision. You got to start living this thing. It's time to make a decision. This gentleman's getting bold for Christ. Will you become his disciples? Verse 28, then they reviled him. They reviled him. It says, I looked up that word reviled. They denigrated him. They belittled him. They insulted him. They attacked him. They spoke evil of him. They scorned him. They criticized. They just went off on his dude for suggesting that they would become a disciple of Christ. Hey, it might happen to you on the job or somewhere. It might. They said, the word, another word for reviling is they treated him like he was a monster. I mean, that's how they just attacked his. What? They reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. Make a note. See, because you have to follow something or someone. Amen? Make a note. He said, I'm following Christ, and they said they're following. You have to follow someone. Everyone is following something or someone. But here's the key. Make a note, those of you that take notes. Remember, whatever you commit your life to is what you believe is going to save you when you stand before God. Let me say it again. Whoever or whatever you commit your life to, that's what you're counting on to save you when you stand before God. Whether it's your education, your job, your good looks, your skill, your talent, your ability, whatever it is, if it's another person, they're counting on Moses to stand before God with them. So whatever you commit your life to, your bank account, the lack thereof, I don't know. Whatever you trust is, you count on it to save you. Paul makes that clear in Corinthians. So they're counting on Moses. Family here, make this note. Tell people about God and don't take it personal. Tell them about Christ. If they revile you like they did, tell them about God and don't make it personal. So here we go. So I thought about it. So let's do a quick comparison. We got Moses versus Christ. So we got God versus a man. We got the Messiah versus a prophet. Moses was a prophet. We got a murderer versus a savior, someone who killed somebody, and then someone who came to save everybody. We got someone who didn't make it to the promised land, and then we got the creator of the promised land. We got one who declared, Christ declared to be God. Moses made excuses not to follow God. We got Moses who asked God, who shall I say you are? Or who sent me, and then you got Christ telling the Pharisees that he sent Moses. All right, okay. Let's see what the scriptures say. Let's take it to Exodus 3. Let's do a quick comparison. Moses and Jesus. Exodus chapter 3, verse 11. This is when God has called Moses, speaking to him through the burning bush. God tells him, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses said, they're going to ask me, who shall I say sent me? All right, so family, make a note that Jesus Christ is God. He professed it. He told them. And family, all right, we're going to get a little technical, but you got to know the word. You got to know the fundamentals that Jesus Christ is God.
Amen.
And that he said he was God. You have, we're meeting with someone. I was kind of disappointed just a little bit, but I didn't say anything, who is a Christian. And they were trying to tell me that, and I didn't get into it because it wasn't the time for that, but that Christ and Allah and, the Jewish, the God of the Old Testament, that is the same God, we know that, but Christ and Allah is the same God. Are you serious? It's not. Allah claimed Allah was a prophet. Oh, Allah was, Muhammad was a prophet, but Allah was, it's not the same. He didn't resurrect. He didn't come and resurrect. Christ did. Amen. It's not the same God, family. I've just got to let you know. It's not. It's not the same word. Amen. Jesus Christ said he's the way, the truth, and the life. As has been stated before, he's Lord, lunatic, or liar. He's not a good man. He's the savior of the world. He's the light of the world. Either that's true or it's not. But a good man doesn't go around lying. It's not the same. It's not the same. So we pick up the narrative at, did I say Exodus 3 and 11? And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? Look, he's making excuses now. Christ didn't make any excuses. So they're banking on Moses. The blind man is saying, I'm Christ's disciple. Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Verse 12, and he said, certainly I will be, God says, certainly I will be with you. Somebody make a note. Come on now. As you're the light of the world, as we're out and you're on your job, God is going to be with you. This shall be a token unto you that I have sent you when you have brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. Verse 13, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? It's a fair question, right? Verse 14, God said unto Moses, I am that I am. I am that I am. I'm everything. I'm the self-sufficient one. Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Make a note. I am. God's name is I am. Verse 15, and God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. I am. Look at verse 4. Let me see what I have. Look at verse 4 and 1. Exodus 4 and 1. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor listen unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord has not appeared unto you. So make another excuse. There's another excuse. One claimed to be God. One is making excuses not to follow God. Look at verse 10, 4 and 10. Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I'm not eloquent. I can't even speak heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Moses was a stutterer. Say, God, I can't even talk. Anybody ever felt like that? How would God ever use me? I can't even talk. I'm afraid of people. I don't even like people. Who would listen to me? Amen? Anybody been there? See, it's not about you, family. It's about the God in you. It's about being the light of the world. It's about God sending you. The Lord said unto him, verse 11, somebody say amen. And the Lord said unto him, who made your mouth? Come on, family. Who makes the dumb or the deaf or the seeing or the blind? Underline that, the blind. Somebody say amen. Because we've been studying about a man who was born blind, and it was a setup and not a setback. God said, who makes the blind? And he created that man as a setup to share the gospel. Have not I the Lord? God said, I make everything. You don't live on accident, you live on purpose. Verse 12, now therefore go. It's the word of the Lord to somebody this morning. Stop making excuses and go. And I will be with your mouth and teach you what you should say. My family, I'm trying. Somebody say amen. Amen. That's why we spend time with God in the morning. Amen. So God, teach me what to say today. And I'm praying over my whole day. Because I don't want to say something stupid. I don't want to mess it up. I really want to be led by the Lord. I understand now that it's a divine encounter. God, teach me what to say, when to say it. Because you can say the right thing at the wrong time. You can. The Bible says a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. A word spoken at the right time is a beautiful thing. But you can say the right thing at the wrong time. So pray for timing. Pray for discernment. Amen. Is this the time to say that? Oh, the husbands better say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, you say the right thing. You can say it. Brother, you better not say it at the wrong time. I'm trying to help y'all out. But anyway, I'm going to keep moving. Okay? All right. So let's go to John chapter 8. And let's look at Christ, what Christ says about Christ. Oh, and this is a heated discussion. So chapter 8, we've touched a little bit in John chapter 8. They caught the woman in adultery. Jesus is in church teaching, like right here, and they bring her right in the middle of service and say, what do you do with this? So Jesus is still teaching in the temple. So after that encounter, he's still teaching the hypocrites and the Pharisees and those who pretend to have a relationship with God, the religious folks, but they're not connected to God. And they want to point out the lady's sin, but they don't want to deal with their own sin. They want to act like they have it all together when they don't have it at all. So we pick it up at verse 42. They're having this debate about, they just told Jesus that talked about his mama. I mean, this is a very heated discussion. They're in church having this. Jesus was trying to teach and they just keep confronting him. And now they're having this dialogue. So get the context of it. They're in the temple, they're in church, and they're having this debate. And they're going back and forth. Verse 42, Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Jesus is trying to tell him, I'm connected to God. I've come from heaven. I'm part of the Trinity. God has sent me unto you. Even when Moses asked God, he said, God, who are you? He said, Elohim. Elohim in the Hebrew means the Trinity. It's plural. So Jesus is telling them, I came from God. I was with God. I'm part of the plural Elohim. He sent me. Verse 43, why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Everybody can't discern the word. If you're not connected to God, it's hard to discern it. Amen. Ask for discernment. Then he gets real deep on verse 44. He stops holding. He takes the gloves off. He's bare knuckles, and he says, you're of your father, the devil. That's why you don't want to hear the word, because you're serving Satan. And he says, and his lust, his desires, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is what you're all about. Whew. So what does that tell us? It's the hard word. We're all created by God, but we're not all children of God. Don't let people, oh, we're all children of God. We got to love you. No, you're not. Jesus made, you follow in the desires of your father, which is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Your father's the devil. My father's God. Family, we have to be really, who are you elevating over God? They elevated Moses over God. Who are you elevating over God? We had the discussion in the men's meeting this morning about the president. Here's your standard line. Man, this guy Trump, what do you think? Well, you know, I don't really think about him other than when I'm praying for him. I'm not getting into all that. I serve a king. I don't serve a president. Only time, because the scriptures say pray for all those that's in authority. So the only time I think about him is when I'm praying for him. I'm giving more praise to God as opposed to thinking about some man. Are you kidding me? Amen. I'm not wasting my time thinking about a man. I'm too busy praising God. I'm not elevating anything over Jesus Christ. Family, that's the perfect opportunity. It's a lot of folks, they're just so strung out these days because they're searching. And we're the light of the world. I'm going to bait you into this stuff. And they don't even have the same father as you. It's the devil trying to pull you into some garbage that doesn't even make sense. Be the light of the world. I serve a king. I follow the scriptures. Only time I'm talking about that guy is when I'm talking to God about him. That's it. That goes for your boss. When they want to say, well, you know the boss is this. Well, you know, have you been praying for the boss? I never pray for him. Well, then, excuse me, I got to go. You think, what do you mean you're not praying for your boss? Are you serious? You realize you're the light of the world? Do you realize it's a divine encounter? You're not on that job on accident. It's a mature place, family, where we got to get to. This thing is falling apart, and we're the light of the world, and we're being silent. Talking about, I don't know how to talk. God said, I created your mouth. I'll tell you what to say. Amen. Then here's Jesus telling man, you're your father, the devil. And the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. There was no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. Oh, my gosh. Oh, this is in church. They're going at it. Jesus is taking his bare knuckles. He's saying, you're of your father, the devil. He's a liar. He's a murderer from the beginning. And that's it. And that's who you serve. Family, be careful who you get connected to. You don't have the same father. Ladies, I can't tell you enough. Be careful who you get connected to. And guys, well, I have to tell us too. Be careful who you get connected to. You don't even have the same father. And you're trying to develop a relationship with light and darkness. It doesn't work. Look at verse 45. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. They can't even stand the truth. People don't want to hear the truth. That Jesus Christ is Lord. Global warming. I could care less. I'm trying to get to heaven. I'm trying to get to paradise. And 1 Peter says, oh, this is going to melt anyway. And Revelation says a new heaven and new earth. So what are we holding on to this for? Point people to the scriptures, to the word of God. Either accept it or reject it, but they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting God. All right, so let's go down to verse 51. John 8:51. So Jesus is telling them, I guarantee, verily, verily means when it's repeated twice, it's a guarantee. He says, I guarantee you, if a man keeps my sayings, he shall never see death. If you accept Christ in your heart, you will never die, is what he's saying. If you commit and trust your life to me, you will never die. I guarantee it. Whew, you can't say that. Verse 52, then said the Jews unto him, man, now we know that you have a devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and you said if a man keeps my sayings, he shall never taste death.
Verse 53, are you greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who are you making yourself to be? They know exactly what he was saying. They're not confused. Jesus isn't confused. We're the ones that's confused. We're the ones that we're living like Jesus isn't Lord, isn't Savior, isn't God, isn't in control of everything. We're living like he's not deserving to be trusted. They knew, man, who are you making yourself? Jesus answered, verse 54, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he's your God. Listen to that now. Yet you have not known him. You don't even know God. Here these guys are. They're going to church every day. They're praying. They're fasting. They're reading the word. And they don't know God. You can't be impressed with people's knowledge of the word. You got to be impressed with the light that shines from them and if they operate with the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus told you, he's in church, tell him, you don't even know God. The way you treated that woman, you don't even know God. And he says, verse 55, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like you. You are a liar. If I were to say I didn't know God, I'm lying like you. But I know him and keep his word. Can't be impressed with people saying, I want to thank God. These award shows and all this other kind of stuff don't mean nothing. It's just words. It don't mean nothing. Even in church, you got pastor standing up and people proclaiming, don't mean nothing. Don't be impressed. Verse 56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day and he saw it and was glad. Your father Abraham, I'm way higher than Abraham. He rejoiced. He saw my day and he was glad and he rejoiced in it. Verse 57, then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old and thou hast seen Abraham. Verse 58 is the key. If you don't have it highlighted, highlight it, put a star by it. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, and they already, remember, they know the word, when Moses came to, who shall I say sent me? Who did he say? And then Jesus said, before Abraham was, then look what they did. Next verse. Then they took up stones to cast at him. Why? Because Jesus just committed blasphemy. He said he was God. People say, no, Jesus, he was just a good. He never said he was God. Are you kidding me? He just said it. The Pharisees aren't confused. If you claim to be God, you got stoned to death. Then they picked up stones. They're still in church. Just look. Then they picked up stones to cast him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. They were in church. Maybe it's a big tent or something. They got rocks laying. I don't know. They knew exactly what he said. Man, this dude just said he's God. We got to kill him. It wasn't his time. He didn't come to get stoned. He came to get crucified on that cross to save us from the sins. He went out of the temple going through the midst of them and so passed by. And then, Dominique, take us right next to the next verse, which would be the next chapter 9:1. He said he was God. Then he went out and proved it. Saw a man which was blind from, let me show you the setup. Let me show you how God works. They want to ask who sinned, this man or his. Said it didn't, was nobody. I've set it up since the beginning of time to show you that I'm God. Gives them an object lesson. Let me show you that I'm God. We're going to finish this up. I'm going to read and then I'm going to come back. Next week we'll come and break all this down. Go back to John 9:29. Oh, verse 28. Then they just went off on him. Said, you're his disciple? But we are Moses' disciple. We just blew that out the water. But remember, you got to commit to something. You got to worship something. You got to follow something. They chose Moses. Verse 29, we know that God spoke unto Moses, as for this fellow, we don't know where he's from. Then the man gives his first sermon. The man answered and said unto them, why? Look how cool the man is. Look, why hearing is a miraculous thing, a marvelous thing that you don't know from whence he is, but yet he's opened my eyes. Now we know that God hears not sinners, but if a man be a worshiper of God and do his will, he heareth him. Verse 32, since the world began, it's not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Verse 34, they answered and said unto him, man, you all together, they went off on this dude again. They not hearing it, family. Man, you all together born in your sins, and you gonna teach us now? And they kicked him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, somebody say amen. He said unto him, can you trust me that I'm the Son of God? We're going to unpack that first sermon next week. But here's, they kicked him out, and then Jesus found him. So at your lowest point, at your toughest point, God knows exactly. He saw him when he was blind, begging. Remember, this is a blind beggar. God saw him then. He gets, man, the dude, finally this miraculous thing happens and he's able to see. And then the neighbors, the Pharisees, Jesus' disciples, and his parents all reject him. And plus he got kicked out of church. And then Jesus comes and finds. At your toughest point, he's there. At your lowest point, he's there. But then he asked him, can you trust me that I'm God? Can you trust me to be God in your life? Fam, that's what he's asking. Whatever, regardless of what we're going through today, can you trust Jesus to be God in your life? And that's where we're going to pick it up next week. So let's just bow our heads. Lord, we, God, forgive us if we've elevated anything over you. God, thank you that we can enjoy all things, but we will not elevate anything over you. Forgive us, Lord, for elevating a man over you, elevating stuff and things over you. God, we know whatever we trust is what we're counting on to save us when we stand before you. Thank you for the word this morning. Thank you for challenging us not to be the same. Let us recognize, make us mindful of the divine encounters we are going to have each and every day this week. Give us discernment. Thank you for reminding us that we can't play both sides. It's only two choices of fathers, and that's Christ and that's Satan. It's no in between. We're all created by God, but we're not all children of God. Thank you, Lord, that Christ made it plain. He is God. He came from heaven. He came from the Father. He came to give us a way back home. Maybe you hear you say, Pastor, I've never accepted Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I don't even know if I'm saved. But you don't have to guess anymore. Jesus Christ made it plain, just like he made it plain to all those divine encounters that blind man had. Will you become his disciple is what he asked him. Will you commit, submit, and surrender to Christ today is what he asked him. That's you say, Pastor, I want to get saved this morning. I've never accepted Christ, but I want to get saved this morning. Elevate your hand. I want to pray for you. Maybe you're here, you want to rededicate your life. You got to get back to walking in the light, being the light of the world, sharing Christ, just sharing your story, not being weird, but just through casual conversation. You got to get reconnected. Because you're waiting on God and God's waiting on you. But you got to be connected. You can't be like a Pharisee, pretending to be God and not connected to God. If that's you and you want to rededicate your life, that's just a heart-to-heart. You don't need to raise your hand. That's just, Lord, forgive me. God, help me to do better for you. I know your word says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. It's no condemnation because it's not based on what we do or what we don't do. It's based on what Christ has already done. But God, because I am saved, I want to do better for you. And that's what I'm rededicating my life to, doing better for you. And maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I've been visiting, but I haven't officially joined. I want to make it official today. If that's you, elevate your hand. Lord, we just thank you for this day. Won't be business as usual, because I'm going to look for the divine encounters. I'm going to expect God to send somebody my way. Just like he sent Ruth to work in the field of Boaz. Then he sent Esther to the palace. Nothing by accident. He sent Saul to run into Samuel. Nothing by accident. Now God, send us and let us be mindful that you sent us, that you made our mouth. Let us use it to bless and not curse. Let us use our mouth to build up and not to tear down. Let us use our mouth to speak life and not death. Oh God, we thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Put your hands together. Did I miss something? Is that Sister Tori? Did I miss you raising your hand to join or something? Or what? Yeah. Well, talk to us, Tori. We family. So what did I miss?
I mean, I do want to be officially a member.
Hey. Thank you. This is how we do it. In the name of Jesus, you're officially a member. It's done. No, we'll have one of the ladies get some information, and we'll have our new members class next month. But God bless you. Let's thank God. Stand to your feet. Give somebody a hug. In Jesus' name, you are dismissed.